Lions Radio Lunch Truck is here. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Live from Carpinteria, California. And now, here's your host, Brian Moots.
All right, welcome to Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. This is Brian on another 8 out of 10 Thursdays. It's been beautiful. It's another beautiful day.
Yeah.
So we're out between the rainstorms.
Cleared up nicely for us.
And it's CarpinteriaValleyRadio.com. And, you know, we always have good guests, but this is a really fun, special day. We have three wonderful women here.
No pressure.
We have two wonderful women here. We have Kim Gutierrez, Jerry and Cardi, Beth Cox of Women Making Change.
Yes.
They're here to explain Women Making Change. The March is Women Making Change Month, and there's a lot of activities going on. And so let's start with that. Let's start with Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. That's why it's like the teacher. You. Explain Women Making Change.
Women Making Change is an initiative that was started 2 years ago to help promote programming for the theater during the post COVID. So we decided that during Women's History Month that we would bring, you know, educational programming, stimulating program, and just kind of a, you know, create a connection and a sisterhood of sorts.
And Beth, you're the chair of this, are you not?
Yes, I missed a meeting and they made me a chair.
That's how it works.
Yes.
Have you found this to be a major responsibility as a kind of a year-round job for this, to organize a full month of activities and awareness?
I kind of stepped back this year, and these two ladies are definitely all over it. The first year, yes, I was definitely a big part of it, but the rock stars behind the scenes are a dynamic group of women who the first year, you know, we didn't quite know what we were doing, but it was really successful, and now we're where we are, and it's a lot of fun to get together, and we started the annual tea last year, which we had at Girls Inc., and we're doing that again, and I know Kim's going to speak to all of our different events, but it's a beautiful thing that we brought in, you know, post-COVID to establish Women Making Change in Carpinteria, because we've got some major female powerhouses in Carpinteria, for sure.
Yeah. Kim, and what changes do you want?
Do I want or what?
When you say Women Making Change, and I know on a societal level, there's a lot of changes that need to be made.
We constantly get the jokes where everybody wants, you know, four quarters for a dollar. But,
I have resisted the Vegas context of that.
We started this, you know, in 2022, and it, like Beth said, just a really small group, and just the community got completely behind us. You know, where it was weekly, like, affirmations to people, acknowledging, you know, powerhouse women in the community, and it's kind of evolved along the way. Now we started with like six committee members, now we have like 24, and we found a new home. We are now associated with the Carpinteria Women's Club.
Oh, good.
So
good group.
It more aligns with what, you know, right, we're trying to do, and basically, you know, our initiative will, you know, we try to like elevate, educate, and celebrate all the accomplishments that women have made throughout history, today, and in our community.
Are we just Carpinteria-centric, or are you also operating in Santa Barbara?
We
Montecito, Santa Barbara.
We operate out of Carpinteria, but we have people that are in our group that are from Santa Barbara, from Ventura, from Orange County. Our Facebook group has like 570 people on it. So
nice.
It's people from all over.
Nice.
I think like even all of our relatives, like I think yours probably from back east are on it. Mine in Orange County.
Are they all women?
No. We are, see, that's a misnomer. We are not a men's haters club.
No. Right.
We love our male allies and we need their support.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Right.
Yeah. We love men.
Right.
We do.
Yes.
Love
so is my brother. He's a whore.
Dude.
And everyone is invited.
Right.
Everyone is invited.
I have a question. Do you ever find it fatiguing that you have to have this, a Women's Making Change Month, acknowledging women, supporting women? Do you find that it's like
like obligatory?
It's always done. No, it has to be done. There's forces out there that want to put women back in a place, yeah, perhaps 1950.
Well, you know? That is, yeah, you were right there. That's the fatiguing part. That's the, you know, the part that is, you're scratching your head because you cannot believe how far back we're going, and that, you know, the powers that be or that want to be have any power. It's really shocking.
You look at the history, it's like there's so many victories to celebrate, but here we are.
You know? And that's kind of what I mean. Yeah. You're like, yeah, again,
exactly.
You know, 2024.
But as far as, you know, creating this initiative and celebrating women, every day, you know, should be a celebration of women. They are the creators. And, you know, you can't, again, it is definitely not a man-haters club.
Well, I know that.
It's just really nice to have this moment where you can really reflect on the accomplishments.
And the outreach and the response from the community has been good.
Yes. I mean, nothing's negative other than the little silly jokes, but that's, you know, that's in all good fun. And but there's no resistance. There's no anger. We had a little bit of it when we had our march, I think, last year. A few people
stepped out. What happened?
A few people from the sidelines kind of were arguing, why should this be a women's month? We don't have a man's month. I'm like, everything's a man's month.
Well, that's what kind of what I'm saying. We've been kind of, in fact, as you know, as a balance to the show, I'd like to have a balanced show next week. We're having white guys who want everything to stay the same.
Yeah. Representatives like men.
Right. I want to be there for that.
They're about 50 to 80 years old.
And they're chartering a plane from Alabama.
For Women Making Change, do you address issues such as domestic abuse, violence at all? Yeah. Or is this more, continue on.
All kinds of topics. And actually, part of our initiative is, you know, we do these different events where we raise money and we'll give a donation at the end of the month. One of the organizations we targeted this year was Domestic Violence Solutions.
Fantastic.
So, unfortunately one of the forefront
issues
in our...
Yeah.
Because it's still very much happening.
Yes.
Domestic violence.
Probably worse than ever, truly.
Yeah. Excuse me?
Probably worse than ever right now.
Why is that? Is it worse than ever, or are we aware of it because of stats and social media?
I think that we have... we've had a past powers that have given the permission to treat women terribly, to treat, you know, any subgroup terribly. And I think that's what's happening right now.
So you feel that past people in power...
Yes.
Are you talking about past person in power?
Didn't we discuss this with Doss, though? It's like that kind of unlocked a door for everybody. It's okay to be mean, and
well,
it's okay
to
engage in this terrible behavior. Right. Yeah.
Right, because I'm not belittling it, but, you know, violance against women has been, never ended.
But you're right. I mean, it's probably the media that we're seeing more.
Definitely.
It's pretty shocking that there's mutilation. Women are being mutilated in
northern African country. Yes.
That's still happening. Right. Those things have... We haven't evolved that much, sadly.
So part of your change, are you going to be addressing things like that? Well, I mean, when you talk about violence, are you going to address how women are in other countries, the treatment of women in other countries?
We have movies and panels, and we have, as we have in the past, that have addressed those things. So we try to kind of change it up through the years. So we had a panel that was all about objectification of women and how, you know, again, it gives permission for men to treat women a certain way. For women to treat women a certain way, sadly, you know. So, but we do. We try to find a different subject, a different group panelists that address different things.
And you've had no problem finding that, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Fantastic. And for Beth, for you, what have you learned being on the board? What have you learned being heading this? Have you been like, oh my God, the women are sticking together? I have so many sisters and brothers out there, mm-hmm. and I also have so many not sisters and brothers out there. Have you learned anything that's shocked you or that you expected?
I don't think I've learned anything that has shocked me. I mean, I worked in the domestic violence and sexual assault industry field, when I was first out of college and before that. So I was in deep with working with, I used to be Shelter Services for Women in Santa Barbara, as well as the Santa Barbara Rape Crisis Center, which is now STETSA. And so I don't think that there's really a shock for me. I do see social media and it being more prevalent in everybody's eyes, because when I would go around and talk to high schools or teens or different groups of like Lions clubs or Kiwanis clubs, it was like a shocker, like, oh my God, this woman is coming to talk about this thing that mm-hmm. none of us ever want to talk about. And I think there's still that stigma, but I feel like it's a double sword, but also a beneficial, because my children, Jerry's children, Kim's children, you know, we have such a huge social outlet now that it's in their faces, and it's so much easier to access resources and what have you, where when I was doing it 25, 30 years ago, it was completely different. Mm-hmm. And so I think that social media has definitely given rein to these certain people mm-hmm. that were not saying, but saying, in continuing the violence, what have you, in whatever ways they're doing. But I celebrate these women that, I mean, Carpentry is, as we all know, really special. And for these powerhouse women to have come together in the way that they did, it's just an honor, especially to have been named the chair of it, because they're all these queens in Carpinteria for sure. So that just being able to be amongst them and celebrate, and you know, be able to give back to places like Domestic Violence Solutions and different organizations that are trying to eradicate and educate and promote that these mm-hmm. behaviors are not going to be stood for. Mm-hmm. It feels really good to be a part of that.
Well, I think that's a positive note to end on. Ready for some music?
Always.
Oh, good. Well, each one of these women have chosen a band. The first one's Pink, and that was Kim, because I know you're a big Pink fan.
Every time.
Yeah.
I think she's 5 for 5 picking Pink. Yeah.
She kept asking me. She kept asking me, and I was like, well, I know Kim has Pink too.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, Pink rocks. Her song is Irrelevant. And I picked one out, and mine's from the band Dorothy, and her song is going to be Rest in Peace. So we'll start with Pink.
All right.
And then Dorothy, Rest in Peace. And Dorothy's is just a kick-ass rock song.
And so here we go on Brian's Radio Lunch Truck.
All right, we're back. Brian's Radio Lunch Truck, CarpinterValleyRadio.com. And the beautiful thing about this show, if you want and listen to it again, is you can hear it again tomorrow at 5, Saturday mm-hmm. at 5, mm-hmm. Monday at 5,
yes.
Tuesday at 5. And Wednesday at 5 p.m.
Correct. And Thursday, for that matter, today being the last replay of the Roy Lee interview from last week.
Oh, and then Thursday.
Yeah.
There you go. You know.
And it'll be posted as a podcast very soon. And as a reminder, our conversations with Das Williams and Roy Lee are now both posted as podcasts, so you can hear those conversations.
Yeah, make a decision.
Plenty of time before the election.
Right. Fantastic. Let's talk about the scheduling. You have events coming up in March for the whole month of March. And Kim, I think Beth Cox gave you the responsibility for telling us about that. And I remember when you walked through the door, she handed you that piece of paper. So what's going on with the month of March for Women Making Change?
We spend a lot of time in like committee meetings trying to decide, okay, what's the top this month, this year? And we kind of try to, everything happens in March, but we also plan things outside of March. We have other events, like if topics come up that we want to speak to, we'll have those. But most of our programming is concentrated for Women's History Month. And we started off March 1st with a kickoff party at Cork Tree Cellars. Andrea is fabulous. She opens up her doors. We have a drink called the Changemaker, which you'll have to come down.
Was I there last year?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think that's how much fun I had.
I believe
I
was there last year. Yeah, and
it was bustling last year.
Oh, it was packed.
We had so much fun. Yeah.
We have a big raffle. But going back to the Changemaker, we get proceeds from that. So Andre always gives us a good percentage of what she sells in that drink. And it's a pretty fabulous. You can customize it a little bit.
Right.
And forget how large your bill gets the night of the kickoff. another thing that we always do every March is we celebrate International Women's Day, which is March 8th every year. This year it's on a Friday, and we do a march from Peace Corner down to the beach. Now we have the lovely boardwalk, so we were able to walk across it last year and got that fabulous picture that was on.
Was that the same march that you said there was some heckling from?
Yes, that's the exact same one.
From the bystanders.
Yeah.
But it wasn't bad. Was it bad or was it very scattered?
Very minimal.
Yeah, minimal very compared minimal. To the honks and the,
and the cheers.
Yeah. People okay, driving the, okay, by, yeah, honking okay, the car and fantastic. Screaming out the
and
window.
I had a positive support. Conversation with the gentleman.
Yeah.
One of the naysayers, or I guess you would say. Okay, good. And that's what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
The theme that is the national theme for this march is Inspire Inclusion, which it resonates. I know Jerry and I have talked about this a lot about, you know, inclusivity. And I think it's a good one for an entire month to think about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you get people to understand, you know, what women's roles have been, how, you know, if you include them, it makes you feel empowered. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do. Part of our initiative is we want to uplift and unify women. You know,
are you finding that a difficult mission?
Not with our community. I think if we step outside a little bit, there's...
We also bring the LGBTQ
community
in as well, and especially with this fostering inclusivity. That's really important.
Are you kind of surprised, being in 2024... And the backlash against transgender adults and youth in our country.
Oh my God, it breaks my mind
and breaks my heart.
Right. Just reading about yesterday, who was killed in the bathroom.
Right. Oklahoma, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That, so tragic. It's like that's happening this day and age is... blows my mind.
It's a whole different landscape now. I mean, as far as the issues, I mean, and inclusivity is, you're spot on. It's like it's kind of broadened the issues of marginalization.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the people who are against the inclusivity one, and they'll title this woke,
and
that'll be a negative connotation right there.
They just get thrown into one little bathtub of wokeness.
Yeah. right. And then I think Beth spoke about the tea that we're doing. It's our second annual intergenerational tea. We have it in Girls Inc. at the Linda Fairley Courtyard. This year, Natalie Espinosa is going to be our performer in the beginning.
Oh, nice.
And our keynote speaker is Julia Mayer.
That's right.
And who is Julia Mayer?
Julia Mayer is...
Oh, who just is Julia Mayer? Well, so, you don't know who Julia Mayer is.
Well, somebody out there might not.
She's
a community
activist. She's philanthropic. She is a native of Carpinteria. She's a little powerhouse.
An amazing mother
who's raising her kids to be just incredible humans and just a lovely, lovely person.
And for this tea, tickets are available. And if there are tickets, how much are they?
We have very few tickets available. This thing is almost sold out. Tickets are $400 for a table or $50 for a table of eight or $50 for an individual seat or $25 for a child seat.
Fantastic.
And it's just an evening, afternoon of, you know, again, celebrating women. There's entertainment, the speaker is going to be wonderful, motivation, and it's just a fun afternoon, and the courtyard is beautiful.
And
the setup is beautiful.
Yeah. How would somebody buy the tickets? What ones are left?
Actually, if you go online to carpentoriawomensclub.com, there's a link there to buy tickets.
Fantastic.
And this is our way of just celebrating generations of women. So we adorn our tables with photos of our, you know, family members that have passed, women that have inspired us, and there's a lot of sharing at the table.
Yeah,
of like,
very cool.
My grandmother did this, my aunt did this, this is who I am because of, you know.
Are you kind of amazed sometimes we forget how strong the women in our past lives, people we don't know, our great-grandmothers, our grandmothers, have been?
I heard stories when I was a little girl that one of my grandmothers that grew Italian, and she lived in Italy, and she was the town psychic. And she also was a midwife. And that just, like, I couldn't believe how cool that was. And
so when she walked down the street, she said, see you in 7 months.
Yes. Exactly.
Here's my card. Who the fuck are you? Hey, you'll get to know me later.
Also, there was a rumor that she was kind of the matchmaker, too. So I just love that.
Is that where you get it from?
Yeah, I do.
Are you a matchmaker, kind of?
I'm a matchmaker.
Are you?
Oh. Kind of. I feel energy. And right. I can kind of tell, we should be together.
And then what? Okay, we have the six is taken care of. And then what's coming up later on in March? Kim?
We have on Wednesday, March 13th at the Carpinteria Women's Club. It's Women Making Change, but it's also part of our monthly Women's Club meeting. And it's going to be Bea Blozer is going to speak. And her topic is Women Behind Walls.
Which is prison or
or
societal walls or
it's actually she and her husband were doing like a smallpox kind of vaccinations and stuff like that, and she found when she was out there meeting these people that there was women that were not allowed to be educated, were not allowed, it's like they were literally behind walls.
Are we talking in America or
South America and other countries? So she's
going to be really interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Really recommend everybody to show up for this.
And that again is where? And
that
time
is Wednesday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at the Carpinteria Women's Club. And then
free of charge. Of
free of charge. Okay. All our speaker panels are free of charge.
Fantastic.
And that's why we do these other events to help. Make it free of charge.
Of course.
And then on Thursday, March 21st, we're going to show the film Fair Play. That's by Jennifer Siegel Newsom, who we did, I think, our very first year, our inaugural year, we showed Misrepresentation, which I think Jerry alluded to earlier as well.
And what is Fair Play? What's the
Fair Play is, it follows three families, and the women try to find home, work, life balance. And so we have a good panel coming to speak. Teresa Alvarez will be one of them. I believe Jamie Collins. So it's like, again, powerhouse women.
I've got a question for you because for a while, it seemed for about 20, 25 years, as women entered the workforce en masse, and that was in the mid-70s, so the domestic life has changed one way or the other. A lot of it due to necessity and due to need and due because I want to work. I don't want to just be a housewife. Then you had women that wanted it all. Have you found that when I said you wanted it all, I want to be a lawyer, I want to have kids, I want to have a house, and sometimes there's just not enough time in the day. Have you found there's a balance now where women are saying, I want to have a career, then a family. I don't want to have a family. I want to have a career. Have you found, is there a better balance, you think, when it comes to women, their choices of family / career?
I think it all depends on what kind of support they have.
Yes.
For sure. And if they have a husband that's willing to be a great partner, and to kind of share the load, that's kind of the only way it's really going to work well and seamless. And, so I think that happens in certain areas. But it's hard. I've noticed that women are having children later.
If at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I worked OBGYN, and I had a lot of client patients that had their babies in their 40s because they finished their career. Well, they didn't finish their career. They finished establishing their careers. They were still doing their careers. And then they felt like they were at a better, situation in their lives, whatever it was, or income-wise, whatever, that they could bring in some help. But they also were real hands-on parents as well. So, and now with women working from home, they're able to sort of do that balance, since COVID there's, a lot of people working home that are still working at home, and they're able to kind of figure that out. So they're there for like the big events.
Right.
And, they can kind of schedule around things.
So kind of in a way, things are balancing out for many people.
It's work.
Not for everybody,
it's
but obviously.
It's incredibly hard work, and it's like, like an orchestra, kind of get the right pitch, So I see it with my own kids. Especially my one daughter who's running, she's a president of a company and she's doing a lot of it remotely. And just really successfully.
Do you feel there's a stigma is lessening for couples or women who don't want children? Is that lessening or is it still a stigma?
If I could, social media, you can say all the things it is good or bad about it, but there's more awareness of that group of people now, at least for me. I mean, I'm seeing them being more vocal. Yeah. I don't have kids, never wanted kids, happy without kids.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's nothing more empowering than a woman that really knows that she doesn't want kids. And then, you know, how wonderful is that? Because
really?
I think I honestly do.
My wife totally.
I think it's fabulous. There isn't the societal pressures.
Right.
And then these women resenting their lives, or, you know.
Well, I found this. The Guardian newspaper and other newspapers, New York Times, has talked about there's actually podcasts of couples and women who decide not to have children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for a lot of reasons. But there seems to be a little bit of backlash also still. And, you know.
I think that's always going to be there.
Yeah.
Probably. It seems to me, you know, if you're a woman, you discovered a cure for cancer and you didn't want kids, people are still asking you what's wrong with you.
I know. or when you have a baby and you have to have a C-section for medical reasons. Yeah. Oh, you didn't give birth? I had to have C-section. I got that from other women. And that was so
really
shocking to me.
That's weird. I would never have thought that
to a woman.
We need to definitely change the narrative there. Yeah. Women need to be kind to each other, and that's where all of this starts.
I want to come back to that, but let's go back to the scheduling really fast, and that's a very important aspect. And where are we with the scheduling on this thing?
We have on Friday, March 22nd at the Carpinteria Women's Club. We're going to do a mother son dance.
Oh,
it's like we have father-daughter dances all the time. We're going to try a mother-son dance. And that was brought to us by Asia Forner and Andrea Leonello. They're spearheading this one. And that's like, we open ourselves up to, you know, if you have ideas that you want to bring for the month or anytime, bring it to us and we'll try to figure out how to make it happen.
And my 17-year-old son is going to buy me a corsage. And
That is so cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
I never heard of anybody trying to do that.
Real visionary.
And that is non-charge. Or is there a charge for that?
There'll be a minimal charge
to cover expenses.
Okay.
And then one of the highlights of the month for me, and it goes back to our inclusivity, is on Saturday, March 23rd, at the Women's Club, we will have a drag reveal starring Vivian Storm,
woo-hoo!
Angel Damon, and Milena Poinsettia.
All right.
But so who's I've been to the drag show. Who's the big girl? I don't know why I liked her for the best.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of weird.
She will not be there.
Yeah, the one with the beard.
With the beard?
Yes.
No, she will not be there.
Okay.
It's the three. Dang. They call themselves the United Queendom.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. And they're all fantastic performers.
It's going to be so fun.
It's
going to
be so fun, but we're also adding an educational element to it. So we will have a panel, but probably just going to be Vivian. We'll chat with her a little bit to kind of like a
back and forth.
Yes, exactly. To educate people on what it is to do drag. I mean, how did you get into it? Where do you go from here?
I think it's important so people feel comfortable maybe asking questions that might not be politically correct, but they want to know.
They want to improve themselves.
A safe spot for that.
Yeah, it'll be very casual. She'll have a mic and
Vivian Storm was on the show. She's fantastic.
It's going to be just like a living room conversation. We just want it to be really.
So why don't we do this in my living room? That'd be kind of cool. I would actually like that. I think Caroline would like that too. She's fine.
We invite people to look at our website.
And the website is?
CarpinteriaWomensClub.com.
Okay. And we have anything else coming up in March?
And then the final event of the month will be on Wednesday, March 27th. We're calling it Women at the Table. And I believe Paula Ochoa is going to be the moderator on that.
Paula Ochoa is, for us who don't know. For everybody to know.
Or Lopez. Ochoa Lopez.
Yeah, that's right.
Those Irish names.
Right.
They fuck me up all the time.
I knew her as Ochoa from Fiesta.
And that will be, again, what's that?
That'll be at the Women's Club. That'll be on Wednesday, March 27th. And that will be basically like local female, like political leaders. We'll sit down and talk.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And what do you think? What issues will be covered? Do you have any ideas? Do you have a... when I say that.
Oh, you have anybody lined up? Is it like,
yeah. Well, so we have representation from the school board, Carpentry school board, and some elected officials, Carpentry and
Monica Solorzano.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, sounds good.
Any issues?
Anything's covered.
We'll have a Q&A with them.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Music time?
Ready when you are.
Because I got a couple questions to ask about allies and supposed allies. You know, people you get pushback from that you'd be surprised. Right. You're surprised you're getting pushback from. But I think we should have a musical break. Before we get into that. So next up is Alicia Keys, Superwoman. Then High Women, Crowded Table. This is yours, Jerry. Crowded Table. What did that song mean to you?
That is, again, embracing inclusivity. It's all about just surrounding yourself with people that, you know, you care about or that you want to join your world. And it's just it's just a beautiful song, I think.
It is nice.
Yeah.
It really is. Thank you for introducing me to the High Woman, by the way. Appreciate that. Oh, yeah. And is it Belinda Carlisle? Brenda Carlisle?
Brandy.
Brandy's
part.
I went to high school with Belinda
Carlisle. Sometimes, too. Yeah. Just the name.
I know, it's hard.
Yeah. It was funny. I saw her at the Whiskey, like, in 1975 or 76. And she was so excited, this is before the Go-Go's, she had moved into this apartment complex with a girlfriend, and they were playing punk rock, she said, and it was David Bowie. But she's on her own. She's like 17, 18, on her own, and she started
amazing.
Kicking. And she overcame a lot. You know, the music industry is pretty misogynistic in a lot of ways. Talked to the Runaways. Talked to a lot of people. So they kicked butt, and she had fun, and boom, look where she is. You know,
love that.
I was a garbage man. Okay, let's go. Alicia Keys, Superwoman, the High Women, Crowded House. I want to say the High Women.
Crowded Table.
Crowded Table, man. I'm a mess. You guys make me so nervous. Finger pointing at me. O'Brien's Radio Lunch Truck. We're with Kim Gutierrez, Jerry Cardi, Beth Cox, fantastic women. We're having a blast here. We laugh a lot off the air. They're all cute. Yeah, they're all cute. They're all hot.
Yeah. All the stuff they wouldn't dare say on the air.
We have to say it when they leave.
It all just comes out.
You know, we will never say that in front of you. Well, I just did. Okay.
Objectification.
Is there a level of objectification that's okay? Like, if you think about it, don't we fix ourselves up?
It's fine to say somebody's, you know, attractive or intelligent, but it's the way it's said, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm.
When you place those things above other things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
She's this, but she's also
right.
That's not the qualifier.
Okay, so what I said about this author, who I forgot her name, talking about Dickie Chappelle, first thing I said, she's really cute.
That was the first thing you
that
said.
That was the first thing I said.
But in the same breath, you said intelligent.
And intelligent. She was. And I recommended her for next year, because I think, real quick, Dickie Chappelle was a photojournalist, war correspondent, and the first female killed in battle in Vietnam in 1964. Front lines of Okinawa, Iwo Jima, and smuggled penicillin to Hungary when the communists took over. And was qualified airborne, both Vietnamese Army and U.S. Army. So she said a lot of...
G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane.
And nobody heard about her.
And nobody's heard about her. Yeah. So the book's out, and I think the author would be a good fit for this.
Because
it's, again... you know, we have, as men, and it sounds like I'm man bashing, but I'm not man bashing. No. We've said we put you on a pedestal and a cage at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that was a Victorian, would you say, you know, Victorian age was that. So, but women can do anything and have done everything. And it's been amazing how much work it's taken to get to this point where we're at. And you feel, and I agree with how you feel, that in some ways we've stepped back. Yeah. And can you explain why you think we've made some backward steps?
Roe v. Wade.
Okay, the turnover Roe v. Wade.
You can't understate that enough, because that has long-lasting impact, and that situation ain't going to change anytime soon, it doesn't look like. So
And I don't disagree, but explain why.
Well, if you can, implications to women's safety, health. I mean, it's just, we're going backwards.
Right.
People are not being protected. Nobody is pro-abortion. We are pro-safety. We're pro-choice. We're, you know, women have to hold on to that power or mayhem will ensue. I mean, they're, look at third world countries where religion is telling you don't use birth control, but there's so much infanticide, and that's just kind of factored in. You know, a woman might have 19 children and three survived.
Correct.
And that's just that. We have to just do better for women.
Right. So when that happened, my personal feeling when it happened, I heard of Roe v. Wade was turned over. And by the way, it wasn't on the docket. It was a whole different case, and they kind of just adopted it that day and threw it out the window. Yeah. I kind of went, God damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I say God damn, I mean, like I've said earlier, I'd go, wow, I'd hate to be a young black teenage girl pregnant in South Carolina.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, but this, of course, affects everybody.
That's right.
Male and female in a lot of ways, but female, obviously. So, Beth, when you heard, what was your reaction?
Well, I went to law school, and my favorite class was constitutional law. And so people kept saying to me, yeah, it's going to get overturned. And I'm like, no freaking way. It's not going to happen. Then when it did, my daughter was crying. It was a major shock, because I just legally in the whole structure of the Supreme Court, I didn't ever believe that I was going to see that in my lifetime, and I did. And it's shocking that we've literally backtracked as much as we have.
Well, what we were talking about, this little era of opening the door to more divisiveness and hate,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three justices were appointed right then.
Yes.
And that, like I said, that's going to go on and on.
Exactly.
And that raises all kinds of questions as to our system. So, yeah, it's like, correct. If anything, I would think the objective here would be louder, fight harder, because you have that deck stacked against you for quite some time.
Yes. Correct. Generations to come.
Possibly.
And even though we live in a safe state for that, that nothing's guaranteed. And the die has been set for a little while, at least.
Right.
You know.
With some things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I was really irritated. How did you feel, Kim?
Well, just like
I was shocked.
Said,
yeah.
I absolutely shocked. It's like you kept hearing it's going to be overturned. It's going to be overturned, and it's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And when it actually happened, it was like, what the actual?
Yeah.
You know, how did that happen? You know, I'm a boy mom, but I have like several nieces and small cousins. It's going to affect them, and it's what's going to happen to their lives.
It affects your son as well.
It does too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
I wasn't that surprised, quite honestly. Yeah. I just saw the trend. You kind of see the writing on the wall, and now look, like I said, look where we are. There isn't anything to indicate it's turning around, which is frightening. Yeah. Really,
that's what I find
kind of
disturbing.
Like that same where, you know, we thought, oh, that certain someone isn't going to get elected president, isn't going to get. Yeah, there's no possible way, and then it freaking happens, and you're like,
huh?
Huh? Exactly.
Like getting hit by a train.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of how I felt when I woke up. There's a Scottish comedian, and I remember what she said. Oh, fuck.
Right. Seriously.
And I kind of felt the same way. Like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I heard a collective one of those.
Yeah. A friend of mine asked me in 2016 who I'm voting for, and I go, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. He goes, why? I go, always vote for the person who can run the mob. Never vote for the hitman.
I
go, watch Casino.
I have a friend that was in Ireland. And when it was announced, she was in a pub. And people in the pub, men and women, were crying.
Right.
When he was elected.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
They just knew that would be the end of so many things.
We're still here.
Yeah.
And it's right there. I thought it'd fade out by now, but...
Yeah, well,
obviously it hasn't. Yeah,
no,
I know. So I wanted to bring up a point. I don't know if you can answer or not. Maybe not to you personally, but if you tell me you might know or know of. Have you found some pushback? Have you found there's who you thought would be allies in your stance who aren't? Other women, you know? Have you? I don't know if that's. Do you know of? Have you been surprised by any of that?
Is there a group you would like to see more support of that maybe you don't understand why you're not getting it?
No, we've actually have so many. I mean, like, Brian, you are one of our biggest supporters. John Woolbrand, Alan Koch. It's like all these men have come. They support us. They come to our marches. They come to our events. Right. They even, like, I mean, several of you served at the tea last year.
You know? That was fun.
Yeah. Even Dennis.
That was fun. It was a blast.
Yeah. So, I mean, we need our men. You know, it's not... at the beginning, not just the commentators.
And I think that's... where a lot of men, I don't know how they feel now, but if you mentioned feminism, and feminism is a multi-layered, subtle aspect. It's not just bra burning and throwing things in your face. It's kind of like, I'm just asking for equal rights. Exactly. And maybe not hit me over the head and rape me. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of like, am I asking too much here?
Like we were talking about earlier with women going, you know, wanting the career and wanting it all and balance. And feminism to me is balance. And you as a man can also be a feminist.
Right.
You
know?
I mean, it's
it doesn't take anything away from me.
No,
exactly.
It's just,
your success doesn't diminish mine. It's like we all can be successful.
Right. And I'm surprised. Do you find? I'm not sure. I'm not really on social media, but you have children. Have you found maybe like with your daughters, they talk about maybe some misogyny from people, younger people, or do you think there's a better awareness?
My daughters are in their 30s, and I think that. What blows me away is how well they parent. Their husbands and wives parent together, and I feel like there's a change in the air.
Oh, it's
and
so
the way
changed.
they are raising their children to just, you know, appreciate everyone for who they are, and to know that love is love, and everybody has that right to love who they choose to love. I mean, I hear my little grandsons, you know, and they're looking, thinking. You know, this is great. They get married.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. Right. You know, I don't know. That gives me hope. So I feel like our kids are blown away by the political state. You know, that's going they're hearing the of course the overturn blew their minds. They, you know, but as far as like really feeling that, my daughter is a president of a company that's run by a woman. My other daughter is a school teacher that. Every teacher is female, so they are constantly empowered by other women, and share that.
I have a question. I don't know if it can be answered. I cannot answer. Why do you think there's still a pay discrepancy?
I don't know, but it's so shocking, and it's in areas that you wouldn't think. Like I have a friend who's an architect. It is so.
But you know, so many workers have come to the realization since the pandemic that they're not getting a good deal either, and that they can put in 40 hours of their work, and it's still not enough to pay rent or get gas and food, and so that kind of makes that microcosm of it even harder to fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody is subjected, or there seems to be an awakening right now of everybody seeing that. Basically, the way employment works isn't always fair, and there needs to be a fight. So, within that is that subset that women have always faced making less money.
Yeah.
So that's got to make it doubly tough.
You know, legal. I know in the legal area, medical.
Yeah.
Architecture seems to be. It's interesting. It seems to be in what you would consider the better educated, more liberal arena, where on the blue collar, which is a lot of unions, more union, it's the same. You know, if you're a woman, you're making X amount per hour as a guy because seniority. I find that just fascinating. You go entertainment. A woman director's paid less.
I know.
Well, AD is paid less.
Yeah, just
you're like, yeah.
It's so shocking. How is this going to change?
And how do you change that? I know these questions are kind of more out there a bit.
Existential. You know,
the conversation.
Conversation, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, have women speak to women, support other women, stand behind, have a platform for them. You know, I just don't know.
You know, you spent the last hour explaining my very first question, why do you think it's necessary to have women making change? We just spent the last hour explaining why it's necessary to have women making change events. This is awareness.
And,
let's go over the calendar really fast because we are kind of running out of time. Do you have some more music? And you're really cute.
By the way.
Brian, you're cute too.
Brian, you're so cute.
I'll take it. Like,
Brian,
fuck yeah.
You're hot.
Yay. You know what? See, I'm 65. I'll take it. I was at a restaurant in Palm Springs. I had this guy staring at me, and I told Caroline, I go, he's staring at me. I go, fuck it, I'll take it.
There was a TV behind your head that was showing a game.
Yeah.
It was very big.
Wow. Thank you, Jay.
Right out of the sky.
Wow, there I go, diving down into the grass. Back into therapy, Jerry. Thank you. Okay, let's go. That's great.
Oh my gosh.
Back to the schedule.
We
talked about. Yeah,
Friday, March 1st is our kickoff at Cork Tree.
Great.
And Friday.
What time?
5 p.m.
Awesome.
We're also having Lindsay Suarez is going to entertain us there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there'll be some music happening. Friday, March 8th is the International Women's Day March at 5 p.m., starting at Peace Corner, ending with a reception at the Koch Courtyard in the Art Center.
Okay, cool.
Excellent.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a really fun show. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
And Dennis will be there too.
That'd be nice.
You betcha.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, March 9th from 1 to 3 in Girls Inc. will be our second annual intergenerational tea. And I just checked and we have less than 30 tickets left.
Oh, wow. Oh, congratulations on selling those tickets.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Congratulations.
We're almost sold out. Wednesday, March 13th is Women Behind Walls at the Carpinteria Women's Club at 7 p.m. Thursday, March 21st, Fair Play. I believe it's at the Alcazar
Theater.
At 7 p.m. Friday, March 22nd is the Mother and Sons Dance at 6 p.m. at the Carpinteria Women's Club.
And that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Love it.
And Saturday, March 23rd is our drag review, and that starts at 11. It's going to be like a brunch time, 11 to 2 event.
Nice.
So
we'll have that food and drink available for purchase.
Nice.
Yeah.
And by the way, guys, if you've not been to the Wildcat, so I'm going to mention names, and seen a drag show, it is so fun. It is a blast. It is, the talent is
so uplifting, isn't
it? The talent is, everybody has fun.
You're right.
Yeah.
And tickets and more information, CarpinteriaWomansClub.com, and it's A-N, not E-N.
Yes.
A-N.
Woman.
Thank you for saying that.
Get that out there.
That was in the 1980s, or I mean, 1890s, that spelling and that name was established.
Oh,
okay. We're not messing with it.
Okay, good.
No.
And then wrapping up with March 27th, Women at the Table.
Fantastic.
Carpinteria Women's Club, 7 p.m.
Kim, Jerry, Beth, thank you.
It's
been great. What a fun conversation.
It's been so fast.
And you know what's nice is I didn't feel outnumbered or attacked in any way.
No, well, until you got to the
end. Because you're cute.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
If you're an ugly bastard, we would have killed you.
Yeah. Got up and walked out.
Really. Dennis and I like, fuck, they beat the shit out of him. All right, take it over. No, what a great show. Thank you for everything.
March
is going to be a great month. Let's end it. This is Brian's Radio Lunch Truck, CarpinteriaValleyRadio.com. You can listen to this show for next week, even Sunday?
No.
Okay, except for Sunday.
All right.
All right. And that's when we're playing the Reverend Ratio Wright, isn't he? He's a very evangelical right wing. Oh, we're not.
Wrong station.
Yeah. We're transmitting from Bakersfield from Sun.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Okay, let's go ahead and have some music. I have my list here. We're going to play. Next up is Sia, Unstoppable.
Uh-huh.
Boom. Jen Wigmore out of New Zealand, Black Sheep. And then Bad Cop, Simple Girl.
That one's a good one.
Right? Yeah,
that one's good.
Right. Did it. Brian's Radio Lunch
week.
Truck. Shut up, Dennis, I'm talking.
All right.
It's Brian's Radio Lunch Truck. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Jerry.
Brian.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
And Carpinteria Valley Radio. Thank you for a great afternoon. Okay, talk, Dennis.
You're all so damn cute.
You're so cute.